You're smart. You've made a few dollars. You've done what the financial books have told you. You've listened to the podcast. You've gone to the websites. So why isn't it working? Why aren't you further ahead financially? Maybe emotions and expectations are getting in the way of good sense. Or maybe you're paying attention to the wrong people. And it's not that you're buying too many lattes or smashed avocados. Or maybe it is. I don't know your circumstances. But we've all made mistakes with money, sometimes knowingly, sometimes recklessly. And there are other poor habits many of us have got that hold us back. And that's what I'm going to chat today with Tom Corley about in our Rich Habits, Poor Habits podcast, where we have a talk about why people do stupid things with their money. And when you understand that, hopefully you're not going to make those mistakes and you'll be more money aware and help you get financially further in life. So welcome to today's episode of the Michael Yardney podcast.
Welcome to the Michael Yardney podcast, where twice each week you will learn a number of new ideas regarding success, property investment and money in around 30 minutes. Our show is brought to you by Metropole, who specialize in helping you grow, protect and pass on your wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. Now here's your host, Michael Yardney, Australia's most trusted property commentator, who has once again been voted Australia's leading property investment advisor. That's the fifth time he's won a similar award in the last 7 years.
Why aren't more people financially free? Why do people do silly things with their money? Now, in his Rich Habits study, my good friend Tom Corley had the opportunity to peer inside the lives of 128 individuals who were struggling financially in life, and he had the opportunity to figure out what the cause of these struggles were. That's what I want to chat about today with Tom. So welcome, Tom.
Hi, Michael. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good, thank you. Now, before we click the record button, we had a bit of a talk about the challenges that are going on in the world at the moment, political, social unrest, COVID affecting your country and mine, and also the recession that our countries are having challenges with. So we're not wanting to play down people's individual concerns at the moment, but if people were better off financially, as we've often said, any problem that money can solve isn't a problem, is it?
No, and we saw that here in the States, because the quarantine, people were furloughed from their jobs, and almost immediately, Michael, almost immediately, they were unable to pay their bills, unable to pay their rent, just to get food on the table. The government had to come out with an emergency stimulus package just to get $2,400. It was $1,200 a person. So if you had a number of kids, you got more. Just to get money into the pockets of the people whose industries were kind of shut down, because they had no money saved. They had no safety net. This is why we talk about it all the time, Michael. This is one of the reasons why you need a safety net for the unexpected, the things that you can't plan for. And so we saw the absolute need for that rich habit of saving and just having a safety net. It was terrible, but it is what it is. People live, paycheck to paycheck, and they live above and beyond their means. And you and I are trying to change that.
Well, I think that's one of our missions, to actually make people as financially literate as possible. And one way of doing that is understanding why some people are struggling financially. So you had the opportunity of unpacking what's going on in people's lives when you did your Rich Habits study a couple of years ago, and you found 12 specific things that made people do silly things with their money. So let's have a talk about those. What's the first one, Tom?
One of the top ones is ego. You know, we all have egos, but when you have an ego driving your spending habits, then you do stupid things. You do things like you buy an expensive car, you buy somebody jewelry, you buy an expensive watch, you go out to expensive dinners. You know, we have in my kids' school, high school, when they were in high school, well, I remember there was a very affluent area we lived in, and I asked the principal how many of the students were going to go to a private college. And she said, oh, only about 20%. And I said, why is that? This is such an affluent area. Well, they had bought their kids these expensive cars, Michael, and nice expensive clothing. And they wanted to give the impression that they were wealthier than they were. And so that ego of, you know, putting on airs, having the perception that you're more successful than you are through your kids, that all was a factor. And the other thing is, you know, they think that they're smarter than they actually are. Their ego drives them to make decisions that really are bad decisions because they didn't hire experts. Their ego said, you know, I'm smart. I can figure this out myself. And then they make a bad decision. I just had a client today. She was a doctor, didn't want to pay our CPA firm anyway, the bookkeeping services for payroll taxes. So she made all sorts of mistakes on her payroll tax. The penalty now is twice as much as what she would have paid us in bookkeeping fees. Now she gave us all the bookkeeping. And I said, that's an example of this. They think they're smarter than they actually are. Ego, I guess, mistake or a problem, money-driven problem.
So when we're looking at the stupid things people do with their money, one is they're driven by their ego. And I guess part of that also, Tom, is to keep up with the Joneses, to appear like your neighbors are. And the trouble today with social media is you're seeing people's highlight reels and it looks like their life's really good. You don't know all the hard work that they've done to get there. You don't understand the delayed gratification that they've had to exhibit to be able to get to that position. You don't really know how true all the things that they're showing up there are either. Another thing I noticed that you'd picked when looking at why people do silly things with their money is they let their money be spurred by their emotions rather than logic.
Emotions are very powerful. We have something called the amygdala, which sits sort of right above the brainstem, and it's a part of the lizard brain, they call it, the old part of the brain. Well, it can control how you spend your money. And I remember, you know, when I was thinking about this, I was doing a speaking engagement. One of the individuals in the audience came up to me after I was done, and she was an IRS agent. She lived with a friend who was doing very well, made a lot of money. They were renting an apartment together, and her friend went out and bought a very nice BMW. And so the IRS agent did the same thing. She made this emotional spending decision to buy a BMW because she thought it was so beautiful. And then she came up to me to tell me after the speaking engagement that she couldn't afford it. And I said, get rid of it. You made an emotional purchase based on the beauty of the car and your friend having it and, you know, seeing it every day. So, and you know, and this is one of the reasons why, Michael, they put a lot of things in the supermarket right at the counter when you're paying for, you know, your food and your groceries. They know that you're suffering a little bit from decision fatigue, so you're going to make an emotional purchase. Oh, I need that Star magazine, or I want to buy that candy bar. You make an emotionally based spending decision, and they have TV late at night. I think my sister-in-law, she has to manage this problem. She gets all caught up with the advertising on the TV, and she ends up spending money on something she didn't want. So that's an emotional spending decision. It's a poor habit.
Now, of course, we're all human, so we all exhibit some of these things we're going to be talking about in different ways. And I think it's okay to recognize that. At least when we recognize it, we can start to act on that and replace some of our poor habits with rich habits. So really what you're talking about are some poor habits we have that stop us becoming wealthy. And in fact, we've written a best-selling book on that, Rich Habits, Poor Habits. Maybe we can talk a bit about that later on. So one is ego. The second is emotion. And then we've got these cognitive biases that make us make irrational decisions despite us thinking we're rational, Tom.
Yeah, so I have another story on this. So I have a client who we do financial planning for, and she is only wants to invest in what they call socially conscious funds. These are environmentally friendly wealth managers who are investing money in things that, you know, she's agreeable with. That's her ideology. She only wants certain her money to be invested a certain way, socially conscious way. Well, unfortunately, those funds don't do very well. The problem is her money is not doing as well as it should do. And we told her it wouldn't. And she is upset about that. And so she made a biased investment decision. And we do it all the time. We make these biased spending decisions. In the United States, we have so much political nonsense going on here. And you have, you know, the Democrats boycotting, let's say, a Chick-fil-A. So now they're making an ideological decision, even though Chick-fil-A is a very good restaurant, fast food restaurant, a lot healthier than, you know, the McDonald's and the Burger Kings. They decided to make an ideologically based spending decision, a bias. They allowed their bias to get in the way of healthy, you know, eating healthy junk food, if you will. So this, it happens. It's just the way we are. We're human beings. We're subject to our own individual biases.
Tom, how much of the silly financial decisions adults make have to do with their lack of financial fluency, their ignorance?
Oh, I think a great deal of it. The smart ones recognize their ignorance and they'll hire experts to help them manage their money, file their taxes, and, you know, manage the administrative part of their businesses. When you are ignorant, sometimes you don't know you're ignorant, right? So you make all sorts of decisions out of ignorance, and then you scratch your head, you know, 3 or 4 years later because your business went under, and you don't know why. And so the one thing I found with the wealthy people in my study, Michael, was they acknowledged their ignorance. They knew they were ignorant in certain aspects of life, and they hired experts to help them manage their ignorance, to overcome their ignorance.
Now, may I interrupt? Ignorance seems to have nasty connotations, but I don't think that's really what we're saying. There's areas that you don't know or you don't understand. You're not the smartest person in your team. I'm not sure how the words are used in the United States, but here in Australia, if you're ignorant, it seems to be a derogatory term. And that's not what we're really talking about, is it?
No. I guess maybe another way to look at it is you take uneducated risks, or you make uneducated spending decisions. That's probably a nicer way to phrase it than ignorance, but that's really what's going on there. So many people invest in businesses, they don't do their homework. And so maybe they don't even know a lot about the industry that they're investing in. Their uneducated risk that they're taking causes them to lose money. So I'm just pointing out that you don't want to make spending and investment decisions that are uneducated.
I think I've seen the other way as well, Tom, where some people are actually overthinking and either get stuck with analysis paralysis and don't go ahead and make decisions, or they somehow or other find this complicated, convoluted way to do things. And you look from the outside and you wonder, why?
Oh, boy. So in my Rich Habits study, the self-made millionaires, the 177 self-made millionaires, one of the attributes they had, I call it a rich habit, is they don't overthink. They do their homework. They gather as much information as they can on whatever they were going to do, whatever investment they were going to spend their money on. And then they took action, Michael. They didn't overthink it. They didn't pause because the opportunity sometimes passes. I had, for example, one of my financial planning clients was dragging their feet after we presented them with the financial plan and we made recommendations and we said, we think you should invest in this. And he dragged his feet. He dragged his feet for 3 months, then for 6 months and almost a year. And had he invested the way we wanted him to invest, his money would have grown about 25%. It just so happened that year was just a big, you know, uptick in the stock market. And so by the time he, you know, decided to invest his money based on our recommendations, he had lost 25%. So his million, he had about a million, would have been 1,250,000. He still had about a million. So he lost $250,000, which was too bad.
Now, we're talking about the stupid things people do with their money, and overthinking is one, but I guess other people would just not go ahead, Tom, because of fear, fear of debt, fear of making mistakes, fear of looking silly in front of people.
Yeah, fear of taking any risks at all. So you invest your money in conservatively, or let's say that, you know, we had a downturn in the stock market in the U.S. 2000, it was in March, right around when this quarantine hit. Oh yes. My gosh, people were flying out of the stock market, Michael. It was amazing. They liquidated their investments out of fear. They were driven by fear, and fear can make you do stupid things. So that's one of the stupid things that people do with their money. They make financial decisions based on fear.
What about stress? Is that similar?
Yeah. So what I found in my research, you know, I was trying to get my arms around and understand habits. That forced me to study the brain, because that's where habits are formulated, in the brain. And one of the things I found is that stress is a form of negative negativity. It's a negative mindset. When you're under stress, you're negative. And interestingly, when you're under stress or in a negative mindset, your amygdala, it becomes more powerful in the brain. And your prefrontal cortex gets tampered down. It actually reduces your IQ by 13%, stress or negativity. So when you're making spending decisions or financial decisions and you're under stress, you're basically Forrest Gump making those decisions, which is really dangerous.
Now, is poor decision making a habit? Some people just seem to be in the habit of doing it over and over again.
Yeah, and the problem with poor decision-making is, if you don't recognize it, that you're making poor decisions, it has a compounding effect, because one poor decision may force you to make another bad decision. And then, you know, that leads to making, you know, just a domino effect of bad decisions. And then you get to the point, Michael, where you're boxed in, and then you're forced to make bad decisions what I call desperation, which is the next one. Desperate decisions are the result of making previous poor decisions. And so you get boxed in and you have to make a decision because some third party is breathing down your neck, or you have no choice but to take a job you hate because it's the only job you can get. That makes you miserable, but you know, you made these bad previous decisions that boxed you into forcing you to make that desperate decision.
Now, all this comes from your Rich Habits study, which was the first book that you put out, and you've published a number of books, and together we've authored Rich Habits, Poor Habits, which we're very proud of, Tom, because it's been translated into a number of languages now. So it's not just a bestseller in your home country, America, and mine in Australia, and it keeps selling, but it's now in Chinese, Vietnamese, Polish, and a couple of other countries are looking at getting it as well. I think I've forgotten one as well. So, Tom, if people want to find out more about Rich Habits and Poor Habits and how they can recognize their own habits, just go to richhabitspoorhabits.com, and you can buy a physical book or go to Amazon or any of the online stores, because it's probably a bit hard today to go into regular bookshops in many parts of the world where people are listening to this. You can get Tom and my book, Rich Habits, Poor Habits. Of course, you put out a daily blog every day as well. So if people go to richhabits.net, you write about this regularly. And of course, on My Property Update, we republish a lot of those blogs. But we're working through why ordinary people do stupid things with their money. And it's not because the people are dumb. I guess we've been taught these poor habits along the way. One of the ones I've noticed, Tom, is people just have this impulse, the spur of the moment financial decisions without thinking it through.
Yeah. So these impulse financial decisions, this impulse spending, it always makes me think about Conor McGregor. He went into boxing about 2 years ago, exactly 2 years ago, I think. He fought, I think the guy's name was Merriweather. Anyway, he got an enormous amount of money from that fight. $30 million was guaranteed. And when he got the check, he made this impulsive decision to buy a yacht, and it cost him $17 million. And then he regretted it almost immediately, I remember reading, because he had to dip into his wealth, because he lives in Ireland, and Ireland has high income tax rates. He had to dip into his wealth just to pay the tax on that $30 million, because the $13 million that was left over was not enough to pay the tax. So he had to, and that was an impulsive decision. A lot of people, when they see something beautiful like jewelry, they might make an impulsive purchase because it's just so beautiful. That maybe they're on a vacation and they're having a couple of cocktails and they're so relaxed, their guard is down, they go and they just make some ridiculous purchase on vacation. And when they get home, they immediately regret it. Those impulsive purchases and spending decisions are just a stupid money mistake, and it's a poor habit.
And of course, we've all made them. So we're not pointing the finger at people. We're not saying, look how bad you are. We're saying, if you want to improve your financial position, what you should be doing is having a look at your habits. But Tom, there's another reason to do this as well, because we learned our habits from our mentors, who in general were our parents. And a lot of people would be listening to this, our parents or grandparents. So it's important not to pass these habits on to other generations, isn't it?
Oh, that's one of the fundamental discoveries I made in my research, is that most of the rich habits that even the self-made millionaires had were habits that their parents instilled in them. And most of the poor habits that the poor people had were likewise. They had inherited their poor habits from their parents. And so it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It's really, when you're a child, it's the habits that your parents instill in you when you're growing up that you carry with you into your adult life. And there's studies on this. There was one study that said that at the age of nine, I think it was a Brown University study, at the age of nine, you will have the habits that you forge by the age of nine will carry with you until adulthood. That was a study on 50,000 families. That was amazing to me. That was exactly what my research was saying. So it was nice to have a third party independent study to validate my research. So yeah, your parents are fundamental to your success. And if you don't have parents that are success mentors, which is most of us, you have to find a mentor along the way. It's really got to be something you diligently pursue, because otherwise you're winging it and you're going to learn the hard way through the school of hard knocks.
But it's never too late. The first bit is to recognize your poor habits, and then you've got to remove them and you've got to replace them with rich habits. Not enough time in today's episode of the Michael Yardley podcast to discuss this, but we'll discuss in future podcasts, as we have in the past, how to replace those habits. Or of course, you can get that information in our book, Rich Habits, Poor Habits. Two more of the habits that you had found, Tom, in your study. And one was, well, I think we'd already mentioned it a bit anyway. I preempted it, the externalities, keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah, it's getting pressure like that. A story I told you about the IRS agent, she felt pressured by an externality. Maybe you have a friend. This happens a lot in neighborhoods. There was a study that I have in my study book, and they found in this study that when one of your neighbors puts in a pool, then there's something like 25% of the neighborhood is going to eventually put in a pool, because they're influenced by the externality, that neighbor putting in a pool. If you get a bar in your house, the other neighbors will want their own bar, either in inside bar and outside bar. So we're all influenced by what the spending habits of others. The reason you and I exist, Michael, is to be that stop sign, to raise that stop sign and say, hold on a minute, before you do anything out of just habit, pure habit, we want you to stop and realize that it's a poor habit and don't do it. So that's pretty much what we're trying to do. We're trying to stop them from being influenced by others in their spending decision and financial decisions.
And I guess one last bad habit is impatience, Tom.
We have so many of our clients that we engage in the financial planning, and we tell them, one of the things we want you to be aware of is that this is a plan. It requires time, and you have to be patient. When you have this impatience, poor habit, you might not stick to either an investment or to a business that you know you're involved in. In being in the real estate business, you know it requires patience. It takes a long time. The average saver investors in my Rich Habits study, it took them 32 years to accumulate their wealth. Well, if you don't have that patience, rich habit, you have this impatience, poor habit, you're never going to stick it out long enough. You're going to be always chasing that bright, shiny object, and you'll never become wealthy. If the people that become wealthy, they stick to whatever it is that their plan is. They have patience because those who are patient get lucky. Those who are impatient never get lucky.
Well, one of my favorite quotes is that of Warren Buffett, which says, wealth is the transfer of money from the impatient to the patient. And I guess it also has to do with that concept of delayed gratification. So there we have it, 12 silly things that normal people, ordinary people, do with their money to stop them becoming financially fluent, to stop them becoming wealthy. And if you recognize some of these habits in yourself, maybe now it's the time to replace them with some good habits. Tom, thank you so much. I love our regular Rich Habits, Poor Habits chats. Look forward to catching up with you again next month.
The same here, Michael. I can't wait.
I hope you learned something from my chat with Tom Cawley about why smart people, rational people, do silly things with their money. And most of the time, we don't realize we're doing this. If you want to understand more about the rich habits and the poor habits that people have, and you want to get more rich habits and let go of some of your poor ones, don't forget to go to richhabitspoorhabits.com and get a copy of our book, Rich Habits, Poor Habits. Hey, that's a good name for it, isn't it? Now, if you also think someone else would get benefit from this, because we all know people who have some money challenges, tell them about this episode of the Michael Yardney podcast. Just use the share button on your podcast app or tell them about it. You can always leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to this. In the meantime, I'll be back again real soon, twice a week with the Michael Yardney podcast. But in between, you can catch me on social media. Just look for Michael Yardney or my daily property update newsletter. Have a great week. Make it a great week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Michael Yardney podcast, which was brought to you by Metropole, who help their clients grow, protect, and pass on their wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. If you like what you heard and don't already subscribe, you'll find us on iTunes or on your favorite Android app as the Michael Yardney podcast. Watch out for our next show, which comes to you twice a week, and you'll learn some new ideas about property investment, success, and money in around 30 minutes. To get more of Michael's thoughts, go across to www.propertyupdate.com.au and sign up for his daily morning briefing, and you'll hear from not only Michael, but a group of leading property success and money experts. And just a reminder that the information you heard in this show today is general educational advice and not specific investment advice, as we don't know your personal circumstances. If you're looking for specific advice, why not ask the team at Metropole to help you?